Good evening, Herr Davis. Willkommen to the Medusa. May I present my daughter, Clara?
Herr Dolman. Fräulein Dolman.
Just a minute. Davis, you didn't mention a daughter. The story gets much more interesting. What was she like?
Oh, she seemed a very nice girl.
And what brings you and your little boat to these waters?
It's just a holiday. Thought there might be some duck shooting.
Oh, not here. You're too late in the season for ducks. Oh, please, sit down and have a glass of wine.
Oh, thank you. Cheers.
But you are also on holiday?
I had some business here. but yes, I have been enjoying a short holiday. Tell me, now since you have no ducks, what will you do? You would have better shooting in the Baltic, you know.
Well, I suppose I'll just potter about here.
These waters are dangerous for pottering, you know.
Exactly. And the charts are unreliable, so it makes it all great fun.
Oh, Herr Davis, are you not afraid of being... Oh, I'm sorry, my English is not good. Of being shipbroken.
Shipwrecked. Not at all, no. It's all part of the fun. Finding channels in the sands when the charts say there are none.
These sands are dangerous for strangers. A veritable labyrinth, are they not?
Indeed. But I think I'm solving it.
Ah, you are making new charts?
Well, hardly that. But I am making a lot of notes.
What did you say to that?
Nothing much. I stayed about 3 days, visited a couple of times, and then decided to push on.
And where will you push on to?
Well, tomorrow I mean to go further east. Look at the other islands.
I know these banks well, and I'm going east to the Elbe. Perhaps I can lead the way, act as your pilot.
Well, that would be very kind.
With a fair wind and an early start, it should be an easy day's sail.
Well, I look forward to it. Fräulein? Herr Dolman.
And that was it?
Not by long chalk. All went well until that evening when it started to blow up. It meant nothing for his powerful old tub, but I had to shorten sail and I fell behind. I could still see him, and he seemed to be taking a short cut across the mouth of the estuary. Now, two tides meet there, and I could hear breakers ahead. I should say the wind was now a full gale, and I knew if I went aground, the wind and the tides could break up the Dulce. By now, I was just getting glimpses of the Medusa in gaps in the rain. You asked me once if I ever took a pilot. Well, that was the only time. I saw a great wall of surf across the horizon, shutting us in, but the Medusa went at it like a horse at a fence. I was having all sorts of trouble handling the Dulce on my own, and then the oddest thing happened. Now, I heard Dolman shouting at me. I could swear he shouted, "Follow me." Several times he shouted it, and then he seemed to go about, but I lost her in the squall. I tried to keep my course, but I went bow first into a sandbank, broadside onto the gale. She was broaching, and with the center plate up, it was only a matter of time before she went over. Mercifully, I took a huge wave aft, and she ground her way over the bank. It took most of her rudder off, and I had jammed my hand on the tiller, but, well, I was in calmer water now. That was when Bartles turned up. He put out a ground anchor and lashed me alongside. A couple of days later, I got to Flensburg and wrote to you. So what do you think of that?
What happened to Dolman?
Well, you remember, I thought I saw him go about.
Yes.
I believe he didn't think I'd see that. And if I'd just followed him as he shouted, I'd have gone straight into a mile-long bank and broken up for shore. I'd have drowned. Dolman was trying to kill me.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. At first, he was hoping I'd go for the Baltic and he'd see me off. Then the wind came up and he saw another opportunity. Everything was in his favour, and I'm certain he thinks I'm dead.
But why? A German finds an Englishman exploring the German coast. Does he think you're a spy?
I don't know, but I'm sure he is. But you see, he's not a German. He's an Englishman.
What on earth makes you think that?
He apologised for his English, and he had a heavy accent, but his grammar was perfect. He said things like a veritable labyrinth, remember? Then in the storm, when he called to me to follow him, he had no accent. I tell you, he's as English as you or I.
What about his daughter?
I don't think English is her native language, but perhaps she was just brought up in Germany. There was talk of a stepmother in Hamburg, but I'm convinced he's in the German service. Now, that night on the Medusa, he had a friend, a German naval officer, Commander von Brüning. he had a torpedo gunboat moored nearby.
You met this man?
Yes. He was a really good sort. Seemed a splendid officer. Clara took me up...
Clara, now.
Fraulein Dolman took me up on deck to show me the ship. And von Breuning and Dolman had a long chat alone. Now, I'm sure she'd been told to get me out of the way. Do you see what I'm driving at?
A rough idea. Go ahead.
The Germans are a really great people. A huge empire stretching half across Europe. Now, they've licked the French and the Austrians, but they've got no sea power to speak of. They're building like mad. That emperor of theirs is a splendid chap. But for their colonies, they're going to need control of the sea. Now, their coastline is absurdly short, just from Denmark to Holland, with big river estuaries easily blockaded by an enemy. But these islands are something different, surrounded by shifting sands and badly charted.
Perhaps there are forts and coastal defences, and Dolman didn't want you to see them.
No, no, there are no forts. But suppose we were at war with Germany. These sands would be a magnificent place for small torpedo boats. They could harass all the shipping in the big estuaries if they knew the channels. And Dolman found me exploring them and tried to drown me. Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm willing to take a good deal for granted. But it's incredible that the murder of an Englishman should be connived at by the agent of a friendly and civilized government.
Oh, I believe Dolman did it off his own bat.
Well, I believe you. At least until we find out more.
Find out? Well, you mean you'll come?
Hmm? Oh, nothing will stop me.
Good fellow.
But why did you write to me?
Well, I should apologize for that, but I knew you spoke good German, and it's a job for sharp wits. Of course, I should have told you what you were in for, and when you came aboard, it wasn't quite what you expected, so I couldn't bring myself to tell you about my plan.
What is your plan?
Get back to Norderney, find Dolman, and discover what he's up to.
It's a bit delicate.
Hang it all, the man's an Englishman. And if he's in with the Germans, he's a traitor to us, and as Englishmen, we have a right to expose him. But I love the sea, and those chaps at the Admiralty want waking up.
Quite right.
Now, the fog's lifting. Let's start for Kiel. We can meet up with Bartels there and go through the canal with him. This is splendid. Let's get the Dulcie's canvas up.
I had signed on for good or ill. Not for the first time, a sense of the ludicrous came to my assistance. Finding as an arch-conspirator a guileless and warm-hearted friend who called me clever and invited me to talk German in a little secret service in the high seas. But close to humour came romance, and I knew it was the rustle of her robes that I heard in the foam beneath me. I knew that it was she who handed me the cup of sparkling wine and bade me drink. It was the purest of her pure vintages, instilling the ancient inspiration which quickens thousands of better brains than mine, but whose essence is always the same, the pursuit of a perilous quest. We reached the Kiel Canal at night, passed the dark shapes of warships and cargo steamers, paid our dues, and waited while the great gates of the largest canal in the world opened to receive the Dulcibella.
Pass me those trousers.
Oh, you've got them a bit paint-stained. Well, we could always chuck them overboard.
I'll hang on to them for a bit, if you don't mind. And I've got all this new stuff, much more practical. Is there a telegraph office at Kiel?
Oh, yes, everything. Yeah. Up at the harbour master.
I must telegraph my chief. Get an extension on my leave.
I say, Carruthers, isn't this canal splendid? He's a fine fellow, that German emperor.
Indeed. He's made Germany a thundering great nation.
Do you think we'd ever go to war with them?
It'd be touch and go if we did. If there were a war, we wouldn't be ready. We don't face that way. And we've already given her Heligoland. Suppose she call us Holland.
In our talk about strategy, we felt we were Bismarcks and Rodneys. Whereas, in fact, we were two young gentlemen in a 7-ton pleasure boat. But not that Davis ever doubted.
It was his chance.
All secure, Carruthers.
Righto. There ought to be more chances for chaps like you. Without the accident of a job like this.
Oh, as long as I get it, what does it matter? But I know what you mean. There must be hundreds of fellows like me, and they ought to make some use of us, some sort of naval reserve. You want a man like this Kaiser. He doesn't wait to be kicked, but works like a Trojan for his country and sees ahead. Ah, never mind, old fella. Let's find the telegraph office.
Thank you, Herr Carruthers. I will send your message and notify the post office at Dordogne to hold the reply till you arrive.
Thank you.
Herr Davis, you are captain of the Dulcibella.
Yes, yes.
There was an inquiry for you, a friend in a big yacht.
Going to Hamburg?
No, returning to the islands the day before yesterday.
Pity to miss it.
Oh, not a him. A younger lady. Oh, dear God, so difficult to please. I had to search all the books. She wanted to be sure you had passed through to Flensburg. I found your passage in the books, and she went away happy.
Perhaps we'll meet her at Nordner. Thank you.
Viel Glück. Gute Reise.
So we set off for Nordenai, busying ourselves with charts, marking passages, and directly encountering no other boats on the way. But being aware of one local boat following our course with remarkable accuracy. I hardened to the life, grew salt, tough, and tolerably alert, and more than once I gave thanks to the stout skins of the Dulcibella, knit together by honest labour. Outside Bernaseal Harbour, we beached for the night so that Davis, untypically, could go ashore to fetch more supplies. I was dozing lightly when I heard a sound as of a man stepping in a puddle.
Davis? Is that you, Davis?
I knew in a flash it was not, for I could hear the footsteps going round the hull, and then the scrape of a match as he read the name on the stern. A pause, then a vibration as hands grasped the gunwale and my visitor was on deck. Then the beam from the riding light was obscured as he came to the companionway and I lunged at him. I grasped something damp and greasy. There was tugging and heavy breathing, and I was left holding a big sea boot whose owner I heard jump onto the sand and run off.
Oh, I think you did jolly well. Now, I asked some questions in the village. Apparently, the boat that we felt was following us is called the Cormoran. She's involved in trying to raise some treasure from a wreck at Joost. That's the next island after Nordenai.
What could our visitor have wanted?
Well, our charts with all our corrections in the log would have given the game away. And my naval books.
But they're innocuous enough. Falcon in the Baltic. Sailing tours. A guide to the Solent.
Let me see that guide to the Solent. Something about... By Lieutenant Dodgson, R.N. My God! Look at the frontispiece!
Yes?
It's Dolman! The shape of the head, those eyebrows, I'd know them anywhere.
Published 16 years ago. He looks about 30-odd in this. You say he's now in his 50s?
Right, yeah.
So 16 years ago, he's still an officer in His Majesty's Navy, and at some time between then and now, I suppose, he came to grief. Disgrace. Flight, exile. How old is Clara?
19, 20.
So she may have talked German since a child. Is this book well known?
I've never seen another copy. I picked it up on a second-hand stall for threepence or something.
Did he ever come on board the Dulcibella?
Only once.
If he spotted this, once would have been enough.
It explains a lot. If he thought the jig was up...
He must be into something pretty deep to try murder.
It is well our latest visitor didn't find this.
We can't be any threat. We don't even know what we're looking for.
Well, these islands guard the coast, and the channels between them and the coast were largely unmarked.
But there's nothing on the coast. Just tiny villages and canal sluices.
It's a riddle, I admit. Let's get to sleep. We'll go into Bernaseal tomorrow.
Good Guten Morgen, gentlemen.
My name is Grimm. I'm the diving overseer on board the Cormoran.
Good morning, Herr Grimm.
Good morning.
I have a message from Herrn von Brüning.
Yes?
He asks that you join him at the inn at 12 o'clock for some refreshment.
Please tell von Brüning that he is very kind and that we will be delighted.
Very good.
What do you make of that?
Never mind. What do you make of Herr Grimm? Quick, look at his feet.
What do you mean?
He's wearing shoes. A diving supervisor without sea boots?
Perhaps because he's only got one left.
Exactly. So it was the Cormoran who was following us.
And now von Brüning wants to see us. What do we tell him? I say, I rather funk this interview. It's not my line.
Just be yourself. If you have to, tell him just the one lie about how Dolman tried to trick you.
Commander von Brüning gave us a hearty welcome. And, I am bound to say, I liked him at once, as Davis had done. But I feared him, too. For he had honest eyes, but abominably clever ones.
Herr Dolman is still away, I think. Were you thinking of looking him up again?
Yes, yes.
Yes, I'm sure he's away. But his yacht is back, I believe, and Fräulein Dolman.
Well, we can call on Fräulein Dolman, at least.
Herr Dolman will be back soon, I expect. But you have seen him later than I have you not? Didn't you sail to the Elbe together?
Well, only part of the way. He outsailed me.
Gave you the slip, did he?
Well, he had the better of the wind.
Upon my word, Herr Carruthers, your friend amuses me. It's impossible to get him to spin a yarn. I'm surprised you didn't sail for England last night. There was a fair wind.
But no pilot to follow?
Certainly none with the charming daughter, no.
Quite.
So, what are your plans?
Nothing specific, really.
Take care of your Dulcibella now. The folk around here are as honest as any, but they come from a long line of pirates and wreckers.
We heard there was the wreck of a treasure ship near here.
Quite right. The Corin. She went down off Mehmet in 1811 with 1.5 million in gold bars. Your lords of London are still disputing the title. But there is a small local company trying to raise her. Herr Dolman is a partner. And I have a few shares myself. We use an old depot on Mehmet as a base.
Found any gold yet?
It's very difficult. The sands shift, you know.
I hope we haven't been asking indiscreet questions.
Oh, not at all. This is your first visit to Germany, Herr Carruthers?
No, I studied here.
For your profession, no doubt.
Yes, I am. I am with the Foreign Office.
Also, the government service. When must you return?
Pretty soon. But I'm expecting a telegram giving me an extension.
However, the season is late for yachts, and all your ducks have flown. Now, you must excuse me. I have some business in Easens, a fellow caught poaching. No. I'm really just a policeman, you see. Will you travel on to Northern Ireland today?
Without a decent wind, we could be stuck in the harbour for days.
I'll give you a tow out.
A tow? Oh, no, I don't want to. He objects to towage on principle, but we'll accept your kind offer.
Be alongside at 6. Excuse me, Herr Davies. Herr Carruthers, a word, if I may.
Certainly.
Right, eh?
About your friend. He's a splendid chap. But perhaps too honest and straightforward. You have known him long?
Since we were at university together.
Oh, so he is your sailing companion.
Not exactly. But he invited me to come out here for some sport. And since I was at a bit of a loose end, I joined him.
The sport has been good?
Oh, I assure you, Commander, the sport has been excellent. These are fascinating waters.
Oh, indeed, but dangerous for those who do not know them, no?
Oh, certainly. But then, a bit of danger makes a holiday much more an adventure. I'm sure you agree.
Indeed, we are very similar, I think, Herr Carruthers. Mm. But Herr Davis has perhaps found another adventure. One of the hearts.
Oh,
Fräulein Dolman.
Precisely. And it is about this that I wish to speak to you alone. It was very rude of me, but I felt it necessary. You see, there might be a difficulty with her father.
Difficulty?
The Selvidge affair is not his only interest. He has many interests in Hamburg and elsewhere. And we, the authorities, you understand, are not entirely happy with some of them. He is, how do you put it in English? Sailing dangerously.
Sailing close to the wind.
And two young English gentlemen becoming involved with his affairs might be in some difficulties. Of course, I'm sure it's nothing. Just silly policemen being too suspicious. Herr Dolman is well respected in these parts. But you would do well not to renew your acquaintance with him.
I've never met him, you know.
Oh, but Herr Davis and Fräulein Dolman? Even though I'm certain she is in no way involved, you could perhaps discourage him. It would not be wise to seek out the Medusa.
Herr Davis will make up his own mind. But I will tell him what you've said, and I thank you for your advice. It is always useful to have as much information as possible, don't you think?
I'm sure you are very good at gaining information, just like your foreign office. Auf Wiedersehen, Herr Carruthers.
Auf Wiedersehen, Commander.
What was all that about?
Just warning us off the Dolmans. Von Bruning spun me a yarn about his business affairs not being all they might be, and to avoid getting mixed up in.
The fellow's a traitor and a murderer. We must find out what he's up to and scotch him.
But since they don't want us to have contact with him, we can only think he's their weak link. Oh, and von Bruning seemed to think his daughter's not involved.
Well, I was sure about that. Makes me feel a bit caddish about the whole affair. Let's get back to sea.
Anyway, the problem is, they're sure we're onto them. Or at least close to whatever they're up to. And we have not the slightest idea what that might be. Just a moment. Look at that dike.
Well, yeah?
It goes all the way along the coast. You don't think this coast could be invaded by whales, do you?
No, I thought of that. No. No transport could get behind the island. And the dike's only broken by the sluice gates. No, whatever it is, it's not defensive. I'm sure of it. It's the water that's the answer. I'm sure of that.
Davis swallowed his objections to towage, and von Bruning was as good as his word, and took us to a safe anchorage where he bade us farewell with a promise to do anything he could to help us if we so wanted. When I awakened, not seeing Davis and as yet not having mastered the murky mysteries of the Ripping Girl number 3, I went on deck. Davis was staring fixedly through the binoculars, and, to my astonishment, trembling violently.
Davis? Are you all right?
That boat there, coming towards us.
Yes?
Well, it's the Medusa's dinghy. And that's her, Clara. She's coming to meet us.
Splendid.
Carruthers, when she comes aboard, please remember that she's outside this business.
It's your affair this time. Run it as you like.
All right.
As Davis helped her aboard and introduced her as Fräulein Dolman, I saw that every syllable of her name was a lie. Two honest English eyes were looking up into mine, and an honest English hand. Is this insular nonsense? Perhaps so, but I will stick to it. A brown, firm hand. No, not so very small, my sentimental listener, was clasping mine. You've seen the Dulcie before, haven't you?
I haven't been aboard before. It's very small. But she looks strong. How did you manage alone that day?
Oh, it was quite safe.
Yes, Father said it would be safe. You're sailing to Norderney?
Of course, yeah. I'd like to see your father again.
My father? Yes, I'm sure he'd be glad to see you. He returns tomorrow by train, and then he takes the ferry to Mehmet.
Mehmet?
It's another island. He has business there.
Ah, yes, the Gulp.
Is the Medusa in harbour at Norderney?
Yes, but we're not living on her. We're in town at our villa in the Schwanallee. May I see below?
Delighted. I'm afraid it's a bit of a mess.
It's very snug. So many books.
Well, Carruthers and I'll make some cocoa. Well, isn't she the most splendid girl?
Absolutely. And I'm certain she's not German either.
Just look at her.
I'm more than certain she knows nothing of this.
I wonder what she knows of her father's past.
She can't suspect us of anything. Otherwise, why visit us?
Mein Herr, please, no cocoa. It's late, and I must go now.
Oh, but...
No, I'm sorry. Herr Carruthers can help me to the dinner.
All right. Well, of course.
Herr Carruthers, I made a mistake just now. It's no use your calling on us tomorrow.
Why not? I thought your father was coming back.
Oh, he will be very busy, and the weather is fine. It would be a pity to lose the chance of a smooth voyage to England. It was wrong of me to come aboard. Please say goodbye to Herr Davis for me.
Certainly. And had nothing better be said about this meeting?
It must never be known. Goodbye, Herr Carruthers.
Aye.
Others? She's rowing off. What on earth happened?
She was startled by something. I'd swear she was trembling when she got back in her dinghy. Let's look below.
Right. Thank you. Where is she standing? Over here. Here, the book. She's dropped her father's book. She must have realized that we know. But will she tell our father?
I don't think she can, without admitting that she's met us. He probably still thinks you're dead. Let's get to Norderney and see if he arrives.
There's the ferry for Mehmet. And the passengers are boarding now.
So where's Dolman?
There he is, with the cigar.
Who's that new fellow with him?
No idea. But there's Grimm.
So all three are bound for their depot on Mehmet.
A meeting of some sort.
Looks like it. Let's go and get our letters.
Right.
Two letters. One saying go ahead and take an extension of leave. The second one is from my boss saying roughly come back on time or don't come back at all.
Oh.
Don't worry. I shall claim the second letter never arrived. But I sent a telegram to a friend in the Admiralty. He can check Dodgson, or rather Dolman, for us.
Oh. Well, hear that? We better get back to the Dulcibella while we can still find her.
No, if this fog holds, I wouldn't half mind having a look at their depot. Can we get there?
Well, the depot's marked on the chart. It'd be about 6 miles sailing and then another two in the dinghy. But you're right. With this fog, they'd never spot us. And if we muffled the rocks, we could get the dinghy jolly close without their even hearing us. If we can find our way across the sands in the fog, that's pretty near impossible.
Come on. It's going to be great.
Right.
Davis was in his element, taking bearings in the fog where we could, and then anchoring by a line of marker posts. Together we rowed, with Davis like a link boy in a London fog, bearing the prismatic compass, until, exhausted, we fetched up on a sandbank.
Where are we?
A quarter of a mile across the sandbank from the depot.
Well done, Davis.
I'll go on from here alone.
But why not both of us?
If anything happens to me, you'll still be able to tell what little we know. Perhaps the Admiralty will make some sense of it. What's that?
That's the Mehmet foghorn. Now, keep aiming for it on the way out and keep it behind you on the way back. You got your watch? Matches? Knife?
No knife.
Take mine. And the compass. Now, never budge from the shore without using it. And lay it on the ground for accuracy. You'll pass a big beacon east of here on the shore. I'll meet you there in 1 hour and a half.
What if I'm late?
Well, you can't be. The tide's rising and we must be back in harbour before the fog clears and we're missed. Now, if you can't find me, blow the whistle and I'll answer.
What was that now?
It's a ship's bell. 6 bells in the afternoon watch. Now go and good luck.